Well, folks, great to be with you one more time. Today, we just want to continue on in our series in Acts. We've been doing, this is probably the last message I'll share from this series, but how do we handle the walls which we come up against throughout our lives? And when I'm talking about walls, I mean those serious issues we all come up against, things like relationship challenges, financial struggles, changes in life. Maybe it is stress or the uncertainty from the COVID-19 pandemic. It can be any number of things. But we all come up against walls. You know, those walls which look so high, we will not be able to get over them. And so low, we can't get under them. And so wide, there seems to be no way around them. How do we handle those things when we feel we are at the end of our rope and we're holding on for dear life? I believe more than not, we become like that bull in a china shop. We just do all in our own power to fix the issue and try to just ram through the wall which is in front of us. Unfortunately, when we do that, we have about the same effect as a bull in a china shop. We break more than we fix. Rather than bringing healing to the situation or building bridges, we seem to destroy things. Maybe we just feel that we are out for the count when we hit the wall and can't seem to get back up. It is as if we have been taking one step forward and two or three steps backwards. Remember, we talked about Peter and John and how they'd healed a crippled beggar? I mean, that should have been an amazing thing. That should have just opened up everything for the Christians. But instead, it created a huge wall. Remember last week we talked about how Peter had been thrown into prison overnight and then John and him had been dragged before the Sanhedrin the next day. After they stood before the Sanhedrin and the next day, the Sanhedrin asked them to leave the room and they discussed among themselves what should happen to Peter and John. And after they had discussed that, they brought Peter and John back in. And we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John objected, but the Sanhedrin threatened them even more and then finally released them. Think about what Peter and John were up against. The chief priest, the elders of the community, and the lawmakers who made up the Sanhedrin have told them not to teach at all in the name of Jesus. These were the well-educated, those who are in positions of authority, men who have influence in the city and in their neighborhoods, in their communities. These men could have Peter arrested at any time and thrown into prison for the rest of their lives. And they tell Peter and John that they were not to mention Jesus. This is a big wall. And we can learn much from how Peter, John, and the church handled this situation. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. Interestingly, that Peter and John didn't try to find someone who had more authority. They didn't try to go to a Roman governor who could tell the elders and that what to do. They didn't go to the unsaved and complain and say that they'd been treated unfairly. No, they took the issue they were facing to the believers, to the church, to their brothers and sisters. And once they met with the church and told them all that had happened and how they were told not to ever teach in Jesus' name, the church banded together, formed a vigilante group, and stormed down Main Street in Jerusalem with their protest signs. They knew by doing this, they would put those religious leaders and lawmakers in their place. Well, it didn't really quite happen like that. In fact, it didn't happen like that at all. That doesn't come from the Bible. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, in the first half of that verse, it states, when they, the church, heard what Peter and John had said, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. The believers were not that bull in the china shop. They immediately went to God in prayer. So why did they immediately go to God? Well, let's read all of Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. The believers went to God because they recognized and knew that he was the one who created all things. It is always best to first consult the creator of something when we have a problem or an issue with it. The believers came up against what looked like an impassable wall. So they sought the one who created all things. If anyone knew how to resolve this situation, they knew the Lord would. The believers recognized that God was sovereign. In fact, they address him in their prayer as Sovereign Lord. In other words, he is the one who holds all things in his hands. Do we see God as sovereign? I mean, do we see Jesus as the one who holds our situations, our challenges, our issues in his hands? And do we see him as in control, even if the wall seems impassable? Jesus knows all about our relationship issues, our financial struggles. He knows all about our struggle, our stresses, and our fears which we face. He knows every wall we are up against. In fact, he has it all under control. Why do we try to change and fix things without going to Jesus for advice and guidance? It only makes sense to inquire of the one who knows our situation from the end to the beginning. That was what the early church did. As they faced this wall, they immediately prayed and sought the sovereign Lord who created all things, who knew all things. As we read in Acts, we notice the believers recognized that this wall which they faced was something God's children had faced a number of times before. For in their prayer, as we read on in Acts chapter 4, the last half of verse 25 to verse 27, we read these things. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed. They recognized that throughout the ages, others had come up against this same wall that they were facing right now. Yet listen as they continue on in verse 28. The believers prayed, but everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. So everything these kings and Herod and Pilate did was determined beforehand. Did you notice the sovereignty of the Lord in that last verse? Those who tried to stop Jesus were only allowed to because it was God's will. Nothing happens outside God's plan. So as believers, it only makes sense to go in prayer to the one who holds all power and authority. We should go to the one who has the master plan. For the truth is, there is no plan B's and D's and C's and Z's. There's only one plan. And we need to follow it. It's Jesus' plan. As we see, this wall they were up against isn't something new to the church. Solomon declares that there's nothing new under the sun. While Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the first half of verse 13 from the New Living Translation that the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. I love that. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. The walls in our life are the same as other people have already experienced throughout history, and there might be other people even close to us that are experiencing the same walls. The believers went to prayer because they knew God created all things, and in God's sovereignty, he had helped his children before with the same issues. And he would be there for them as well. Do we believe that? That just as God has helped others with the same walls that we face, that he will help us, that he's there for us. That's why they went to the Lord in prayer. That's why we need to go to God in prayer. They did not want to be the bull in a china shop. And as we go to the in prayer, we are not that bull in a china shop. As they went before the Lord, the Almighty God, in prayer, they did not seek revenge on those who were trying to erect this enormous wall in their lives before them. They did not call down hell, fire, and brimstone upon them, upon those who wanted them never to speak in the name of Jesus. They weren't like the sons of thunder who called down curses. After they recognized who God is, they bring their request before him. And we read it in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 30. Now, Lord, consider their hearts and enable our servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They did not ask for a sword to arm themselves with, or even the demise of those who had placed this wall in front of them. As we listen to the words, we don't hear any harshness in their words. They desire to speak to those who oppose Jesus with boldness. The believers don't wish to shrink back, but to speak the truth. They want to speak the words of Jesus as he would share them. Isn't that what we desire? To speak like Jesus speaks in truth and love? Not only do they want to speak to their oppressors in truth and love, they want them to experience healing and to see the miraculous signs and wonders of Jesus. In fact, what they're asking for is that Jesus would heal their hearts and open their eyes to see how incredible, amazing he is. The believers wanted to see those who were trying to erect the walls against them to experience Jesus. They wanted the Lord to heal their hearts as they encountered Jesus. Isn't that where our hearts need to be when we face a wall? We should be praying for those who oppress us, those who are against us, and not revenge upon them just because they've tried to erect a wall in our lives. Think of the rejoicing in heaven if their hearts are healed and they become followers of Jesus. What a party that would be! That's the Father's desire, to see them healed and come to Jesus, and should always be ours as well. As the believers went to prayer so that what seemed like an impassable wall could be removed, they saw amazing things. We read on in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The place where they were was shaken. In the Old Testament, a shaking or an earthquake was often a sign of God's presence. In other words, as they prayed, God showed up in a powerful way. His presence was there. That would be my desire of my heart, that as each one of us prays, especially if we gather together and pray, that the place where we are would be shaken, that we would never be the same again. Those that are praying should sense the power of the Almighty God. That's my desire. Not only do I desire that the place where we pray would be shaken for God's glory, but that everyone would be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is one of those scriptures which indicates that being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing, but an ongoing occurrence of the early church. These believers had been filled on the day of Pentecost, and they'd been filled in other times, and again now as they pray, they are filled one more time. They're topped up, as it were. I think as we experience God's presence and we are continually filled with the Holy Spirit, we as the church would see amazing things for the glory of God. We would see walls come crashing down like those walls of Jericho. They would just be a pile of rubble which we could walk right over. People would be healed. Others would be set free. People would be getting saved. I can imagine the many, many victories that would come as we pray and the presence of God fell and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, we look at the church in Acts and think, that's incredible. We would like that. But it's a different day and a different culture. We don't really see that as being possible. Yet I hear in the Bible where it says, when we pray, that the presence of God will not fall. And we will not be filled with the Holy Spirit when we pray. I mean, if you can find that in the Bible, then I'll quit preaching. Jesus is the same today as yesterday. And as we pray, God's presence does and will fall upon those praying. And the Holy Spirit will fill everyone who is open. While the believers prayed, there was even more. Listen to verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. Did you catch that? With great power, in other words, with great boldness, the apostles continued to share about Jesus. Remember? The prayer of Peter and John and the church, the believers, they prayed for boldness. God answered their prayer. They're filled with boldness. That is what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives us the boldness we need. Oh, by the way, I know it states that the apostles are the ones who are filled with the boldness to proclaim Jesus. But it doesn't mean just the pastors. You see, the word apostle, that word in the Greek means one who is sent. And the truth is, if we read throughout the Word of God, we are all sent to share Jesus with others. We need that power to not be ashamed of who Jesus is and what he has done. I know there are those who might say, well, people like that can get a little too fanatical. Well, I'd say, great, let them get fanatical. It's being said that it's easier to control a fire than to start one. May we have the problem of having to control the fire of the Holy Spirit. I would pray that every one of us was filled with that fire of the Holy Spirit. When Peter and John and the church prayed, they were able to see God move and see that impassable wall in front of them come down. It was demolished. The wall, which seemed too high to get over it, too low to get under it, and too wide to get around it, that wall wasn't too high or too low or too wide for Jesus. He demolished that wall. The sovereign God has created all things, and everything is under his control. Nothing happens outside him. He is the one we need to immediately go to when there is what seems like an impassable wall in our lives. No matter what that wall might be, we need to go immediately to Jesus. As we pray, we will see the presence of God in our situations. And if we are open, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Who the Holy Spirit will give us the power and the boldness to move forward through the wall. Jesus is the one, as we go to him, who will demolish those walls that seem so impassable. The walls will come down as we pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and many have walls erected in front of them, and they do. They seem too high and too wide and too low to get around, and there doesn't seem to be any way to get through them. I mean, they might be a wall of addiction. It might be a wall of finances. It might be just relationship issues. Might be family issues. Lord, you know exactly what that wall is and what it would take to demolish that wall. Because there is absolutely no impassable walls with you. So we come today because you are the sovereign God. You hold all things in your hands, and we come and ask that you would minister and move in our lives, in the lives of those who are up against walls. Lord, you would destroy those walls today, and people would see victory. Lord, as we pray, we would feel your presence in a mighty way. Our lives would be shaken and we would be changed more into the glory of you. And we would be filled afresh with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, there would be mighty victories. And above all, others would see and they would come to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week, friends. God bless.